Almighty God, we humbly bow before you. How wonderful it is to know that you are here in our presence, that you don't limit your presence to megachurches or grand cathedrals or to those who seem to be pious. Your majesty is not limited to spectacular mountains or to charismatic leaders. Your presence is found in simple everyday places and in simple everyday people. Father, we know that your holiness is in this place, in us, even now. It is wonderful to realize that your presence is with us and that you cause us to grow like a flower right where we are with the beauty of your holiness. We welcome your presence. We draw closer to you. We give you our hearts and our minds through Jesus. We hunger for your presence, O Lord, and we pray in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, who taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
When I was a teenager, I had a bit of a rebellious streak. I was out of sync with most of my family and those with whom my family interacted. I was so out of sync that 2 weeks after I turned 18, I left home to find something else. I also had a problem with religion. And church was not a place I found to be helpful or appealing. I saw things differently. I said, church just makes me feel out of place. I go to church fine, I leave unhappy. So why would I want to go there? Now, I had accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 13. In my bed, I was baptized at Fort Lauderdale Beach when I was 17. But I stopped attending church when I was 16. These days, as a pastor, I wince at these kinds of words, saying that church makes me unhappy. But nonetheless, those are the words that describe the way I felt as a young man about church, at least the churches I was acquainted with. Church was the last place I wanted to be to search for my faith. And so for the next 15 years, I sort of wandered about looking for a place to help me as I searched for my spiritual roots. Every so often, I would visit a church of a different denomination to see what they were all about. It didn't matter whether it was the First Baptist Church or the Fourth Presbyterian Church, the Open Brethren, the Closed Brethren, the St. John's Roman Catholic Church in the Philippines where I got married, or if I attended the Victory and Holiness Fire Baptized Pentecostal Tabernacle. It seems that I was never able to find the God the way the others in those churches found God. I found myself always uncomfortable wherever I visited. The Closed Brethren Church that I visited for a short time had some delicious potluck dinners. The hymns that were sung at the Baptist churches were ones that I heard when I was a boy. However, I never attended any particular church more than a few times because everyone who would meet me sooner or later knew that I didn't belong. The problem was that I often disagreed with some of their cherished secondary doctrines. They had beliefs that I just couldn't rationalize, and often I would find them unscriptural. And to be even more honest, I usually didn't feel welcome either. Maybe it was just me, but I never blended well into a finder's church. I was never able to find what the others had found in whichever finder's church I visited. Usually the things they would find would be some type of theology. So I tried another type of church. I moved from the finder type church to a user-friendly type church. In a user-friendly church, the people aren't pushy at all. These folk aren't the type who would ever openly dare to say, "Jesus is the way," or "What would Jesus do?" They would never have a bumper sticker displayed on the back of their car that said, "Jesus is my anchor." They aren't the type to push a particular doctrine. If you are seeking a spiritual experience, they want you to feel welcome. If in the user-friendly churches that I visited, all spiritual seekers were welcome. Don't offend anybody. Accept everybody. It really didn't matter to them if I was an agnostic, a polytheist, or a monotheist. Didn't matter. And I felt comfortable for a while. It was easy to fit in. It was user-friendly. The members were nice. But before long, I realized something else was lacking. I found it hard to worship in an environment that seemed that nobody had found anything. They talked about self-help, social justice issues, goodness, but nobody openly talked about what they had found. It was sort of a seek and don't find approach to church. And after a short while, that didn't sit too well with me either. So there I was, searching to find truth from the scriptures. As I studied scripture, I became convinced of the Sabbath. I wanted to keep the Sabbath day. But I was also evangelical in my core. I wanted to share the good news of the Messiah's death and his resurrection. But I was churchless because I didn't fit in. In the finder-only church, I was never very comfortable. I felt I had a difficult time finding what others had found. In the user-friendly church, I was also uncomfortable because I wanted more of God through his scripture and less positive relationship energy. Therapy? It seemed to me the user-friendly church was more about therapy than about scripture. Was there another type of church I could attend? Well, there are several more types, several more labels for different types of churches. You can read about the emerging church, the purpose-driven church. There's a hospital church. The hospital church is big on grace, low on expectations, genuine in relationships, and that's a positive. But hospital church doesn't connect well with the culture outside the church. Instead, it cares for the ones who show up. Its weakness is that it has very little sense of mission or outreach outside of healing the wounded. Once a person feels better, it doesn't make much sense to stick around. Sort of like being treated for a broken bone in a hospital, going through the rehab, and then wanting to stay there after you're healed. Another type of church that's closely related to the Finders Church is what's called the subculture church. Subculture. The subculture church is defined by a very tight community. The believers there see the need to retreat from the surrounding culture. This type of church is markedly different from the culture outside, so much so that a visitor may have a hard time connecting. Maybe we might call that a cult-type church. And then there are the mega churches, and I attended a few of these, that are often called seeker churches. Unlike the subculture church that retreats from the outside culture, a seeker church seeks to connect with the outside culture. You would think this is a good thing. But I never felt comfortable in one of those churches either. The worship in a seeker-type church has music similar to what you would hear in the everyday culture. They steer away from insider language that may not be familiar to those who are visiting or aren't coming from a Christian background. And this seeker philosophy, this ministry style, has been used to build some of the largest churches in our country. But I could never get past the simplicity of the Sabbath. Seeker churches don't keep the Sabbath. Seeker churches embrace Sunday religion because that's where the culture has evolved. In 1987, I stumbled across another kind of church. These folk were Christian Sabbath keepers. Like user-friendly and seeker churches, the Seventh-day Baptist church that I found also made me feel comfortable. This Seventh-day Baptist church provided me with an accepting environment, even though I didn't come agreeing with every peripheral belief. And the members of this group of believers understood that their mission included being there to help people in need. They were open to my questions and my doubts and my objections, my concerns, my fears, my hopes, my aspirations as a spiritual seeker. And I really liked that. They provided me with the good aspects of both finders-only churches and user-friendly churches. I was seeking to understand God through my faith, and I was delighted to be the new seeker learning as part of my new spiritual family. Many of the believers in this group of people had been spiritual seekers way longer than me. It was wonderful to listen to their stories, was about their heritage, the heritage they had with their faith community. For the first time, I got off my lonely journey and joined a spiritual family. I joined in Bible study. I became part of a local church that I couldn't label as either a finder or a user-friendly church or a seeker-type church. Maybe we could call Seventh-day Baptist churches finder, user-friendly, seeker-type churches, a mix of all the above. Could we do that? Can we say that we are a finder, user-friendly, seeker-type church? Maybe. I want us to read this. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Why would I be reading these verses now? Wasn't I just reflecting on how wonderful it is to be part of a finder, user-friendly, seeker-type church? Yes, it's wonderful to be part of a church like that. But brothers and sisters, there's something missing from that description. As wonderful as it is to be a member of a finder, user-friendly, seeker-type church, there is something major wrong with us if we neglect the words of Jesus when he told us to go fishing. Right here in Mark chapter 1, it's also in Matthew and Luke and John. Jesus, the new rabbi on the block, came along with a radical request, a strange promise. He said, "Follow me." He said, "And I will make you fishers of men." These fishermen knew a little bit about fishing. So they knew a little bit, and they also knew a little bit about Jesus also. Why? Because according to the Gospel of John the Baptist was preaching, "This is the Lamb of God, the one who will take away the sin of the world." So this decision of the disciples to follow Jesus wasn't entirely impulsive. They had already heard about the Messiah or about this new rabbi. Still, Jesus was calling them to leave their fishing business, enter a whole new life. It's one thing to know who Jesus is, but it's really quite another thing to commit your life to him. Fishing is a pretty good business. It was a respectable business in their community. But Jesus was actually calling these men into a whole new kind of fishing business. He called them to be fishers of men. It was and is an incredible concept. Let's read Matthew 13, verses 47 through 48. "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away." In this parable, the Sea of Galilee represents the kingdom. The fishermen with their net portray the angels gathering everyone in the kingdom at the end of the age. Just like in the parable of the tares, there are those who are in the kingdom but are not part of the kingdom. The net gathers everyone, the good and the bad. This word bad is interesting. In verse 48, see, we read about the good fish and the bad fish. Well, the Greek word for bad is an adjectival noun that means rotten ones or worthless ones. Translating this word, which is sapro in the Greek, as bad makes verse 48 poetic. But it really doesn't give the connotation that Jesus was using. Jesus said the good fish will be kept. He said there will come a day when the tares and the unacceptable fish would be removed. The fish to be removed are not only unacceptable, but according to Jesus, God sees them as rotten and worthless. Jesus made it plain that his kingdom is not perfect. The kingdom that bears his name contains fake Christians, and not only fakes, but his kingdom also contains some rotten, worthless people. The sin that leads to separation is what? It's simply the sin of rejection. Whether it comes subtly through being preoccupied with worldly things or by ignoring or rejecting the message of Jesus. The results are the same. Our Heavenly Father gives us the opportunity to hear His word and believe in His promise of redemption. But the time to choose is limited. Your freedom of choice ends either with your death or with the second coming of Christ. Jesus told us that the net will be full. It will catch everybody. How wonderful it is to be a believer and be caught by Jesus. Don't you think? Do you recognize what is missing in many of our churches? Our finder, user-friendly, seeker environments make us feel safe, even if we don't always agree with a particular belief or doctrine. And we understand that part of our mission is to help people in need and to be there to help disciple one another on this journey of life that we're all on. But Jesus primarily called us to be fishers of men. He told us that the fields are ripe for a harvest. He said that He was the Lord of the harvest. He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said, "He's the vine, we are the branches." What's the function of a branch? Branch holds the fruit that the tree produces. In the parable of the Great Supper, the master sent out his servants to fill up his house. He instructed them to go out and find the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind and compel them to come into his house. Jesus teaches us to be light that penetrates the darkness. Those who live without Jesus as their personal Savior are living in darkness. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Can it be any plainer? Jesus expects to shine His light through us for others to see so they can be presented with an opportunity to choose Him. That will not happen if we are content simply to be part of a finder, user-friendly, seeker local church. Maybe a better description for our churches should be finder, user-friendly, seeker, fisher local church. I kind of like that. See, Jesus never taught us that we are members of a secret Christian club. We don't own this church. Jesus is the owner, and He expects us to speak out about our faith. He expects us to be living examples for others to see, and He expects us to invite them to join with us. That means we are to be a witness. Is our witness missing? It's not our fellowship that's missing. Our fellowship is wonderful. It's not our worship that's weak. We have some great worship times. We worship God with repentance. We praise His almighty name. We commit ourselves to serving Him. We recognize the need for Bible study and training and discipleship among the believers. But let us also remember our primary purpose that Jesus presented for us. That is to be a witness to those outside of the kingdom and let them know the good things that God has done in our lives, and let us explain to them how they too can have this good life that we have through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. May our lives shine His light before men. Amen.
Hallelujah.
My Savior feet, and did my sovereign die? Could He devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight.
There by faith I receive.